This is the Sporting KC Show on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
And there's the final whistle. Sporting Kansas City have won the 2017 Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup.
Brought to you by Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance. We've got Missouri covered.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show on your home for SKC Soccer, Sports Radio 810 WHB. I am Nate Bucati in the airport getting ready to fly down to Monterrey, Mexico, where tomorrow night Sporting Kansas City will be taking on Monterrey, one of the giants of Liga MX in the semifinals of the CONCACAF Champions League. And I'm joined as always by Carter Augustine. Carter, how are you, man?
Yeah, excited. Excited. How about you?
Incredibly excited for this. A lot of anticipation for this trip, and I'll lay out the menu for our listeners. We have a jam-packed show coming up for you over the next hour. We're going to get you ready for this historic matchup between Sporting Kansas City and Monterrey. In the next segment, we're going to have a sit-down interview with Gerso Fernandez, who was one of the most influential players in an epic 7-1 victory for Sporting KC against Montreal this past weekend. So we'll talk about that with Gerso, but we'll also look forward to this big matchup. We hope Gerso plays a big role in that one against Monterrey tomorrow night as well. Then, in the next segment, we'll talk with Tom Marshall. He is the reporter for ESPN FC covering Liga MX and the Mexican national team. And so we'll talk with him basically about this Monterrey team, maybe give you a little brief history on the club, why they have become one of the giants, because it's really a relatively recent development in the arc of Monterrey's history over the last 10 years. They've become maybe the biggest spender in Mexico. We'll talk about how we got there and also the current form of Monterrey right now as we want to know what we're getting ourselves into here. Tomorrow night we'll also talk about the amazing stadium, Estadio BBVA Bancomer in Monterrey, only 4 years old, this stadium, and we'll talk about that as well with Tom Marshall. So that's all coming up on the show, and like you said, Carter, just an exciting time. We're here in the airport. The team's getting ready to board a flight down to Monterrey, game tomorrow night, and you can feel it just from everybody that this is the eve of a big occasion for the history of this club.
Yeah, I think so. I think you could tell in training this week, also in the various press conferences that the guys and Peter Vermes went through, they're geared up for this game. As you mentioned, perhaps the biggest game in club history. I mean, Peter Vermes called it definitely the biggest game, you know, internationally in mm-hmm. club history. Mm-hmm. And you'd have to put it right up there with cup finals and in the playoffs, because this is a special occasion. First time they've gotten there in the Champions League era, and still an MLS team yet to win in the Champions League era of CONCACAF. So much at stake here, and against a really, really good opponent that I know the players have been talking about being excited to challenge themselves against what is a very, very good team.
Yeah, and we're going to break this team down a little bit. I think it's interesting conversation, biggest, you know, game in club history. We're talking about a club that's won MLS Cup, that's won the Supporters Shield back when they were the Wizards, that's won, you know, some cup finals in the U.S. Open Cup. But this is a different one anyways. And you could say that maybe the fan reaction after this particular game might not be the same that it would after a cup final. But in terms of what's at stake, from a prestige standpoint, from a respect standpoint in the region and maybe even the world, you could easily make the case that this is the biggest one, and it's a big challenge as well. I don't think we should slight that in any way, shape, or form.
Not at all. I mean, this Monterrey team it's been well assembled, to say the least. I think we heard Peter Vermes in an interview with Extra Time Radio right. This week, and also he said it in the press conference today at Pinnacle, that if you look at their roster and just match it up with the structure of MLS, they have 10 DPs, and that doesn't include the further players that they would have that would be, you know, allocation type players. So this is a very expensive team, and when you spend all that money, a lot of times you're gonna have a lot of talent, and that's certainly what they have. So the challenge is, it's one of the stiffest they'll face or will have faced in quite some time, because this is, like you mentioned, perhaps, you know, one of the bigger teams on the continent, and they've won this competition. They have an experienced side that that has a lot of players that have gone through this competition. And I think these are two really quality teams, because we can't discount the fact that Sporting Kansas City have a fantastic team as well. So I just think if you're a neutral and you're watching this game, this series, it's going to be something that's going to be really fun to watch. Two really good soccer teams competing for the Continental Championship.
Yeah, the budgetary difference is clearly something that's not to be dismissed, because, you know, it takes money to buy talent. But at the same time, you know, the game's not played on a balance sheet. It's played out on the field. And we've seen that from time to time. It's not always the team with the biggest budget that wins the English Premier League or Liga MX, for that matter. And I do think that it is interesting, like you talked about, look, when you're spending $15 million on a transfer fee for one player, $8 million on another, which are two of the most prominent players for Monterrey, you clearly have players of a very high class. But as we go through the Sporting Kansas City roster in this situation, I do think it's of note. You look at the center back pairing of Matt Beisler and Andreu Fontas. Matt Beisler's played in the World Cup. He's played in cup finals domestically. He's played in Estadio Azteca in massive international games. Andreu Fontas has played in the Champions League. Graham Zusi's done all those things that I said about Matt Beisler. Felipe Gutierrez has played in South America. He's played in a top league in Europe. He's been in some of those competitions. Roger Espinosa's played in an FA Cup final against one of the Giants over there. You go across the board, and I do think that it's very important for Sporting Kansas City that they have a whole lot of players who have been in an occasion that they can compare this to. I don't think they're going to be in awe of the moment when they go out there tomorrow night.
Not at all. And that's something that they've been working towards. I think you can compare the last Sporting team that was in the CONCACAF Champions League with this team, and it's almost night and day. I mean, obviously you have some holdovers that are still on the team and have really been the leaders of the culture of this team and the culture of winning. But when it comes to international experience, they've brought in so many guys with that top-level experience that you mentioned, Nate. So I've heard it from them all week throughout training. They give a lot of respect to Monterrey. At times it kind of seems like they kind of want to be the underdogs, you know. It was interesting in the press conference today, Peter Vermees said I think Thad Bell asked him, you know, do they consider themselves the underdogs despite not really being underdogs in MLS anymore, and he almost disagreed with that statement, saying, hey, I still think we're the underdogs in a lot of senses in MLS. Didn't get into it, but I think in this matchup they'll like themselves to be the underdogs, give them a little extra fire, but they're also very confident because of the reasons you mentioned. This is a very experienced team with a lot of quality, and I think a lot of players on this Sporting team could compete for places in the Monterrey team as well.
All right, we do have some news for Sporting Kansas City that we want to get to before we take a break and get on to our conversation with Gerso Fernandez. Sporting Kansas City did make a move this week. Nicholas Hasler, a right back, was signed by Sporting Kansas City yesterday. He is a native of Liechtenstein. He's got 59 caps for the Liechtenstein national team. Player of the year there multiple times, has been most recently with the Chicago Fire. In fact, played in their first three games this year before being let go by the Fires. Also spent a couple years with Toronto FC. Look, this is in relation to other news from Sporting KC. We also saw the announcement that Jalen Lindsay, unfortunately, had knee surgery. Now, fortunately, it was successful knee surgery. They expect him to be out 4 to 5 months. Obviously, terrible news for Jalen Lindsay and what is really supposed to be a big year for him, playing at the U-20 World Cup and all that. But for Sporting KC, this is a move to give them some depth at that right back position.
Yeah, it's got to go to the press conference this morning where they unveiled him, and Peter Vermees just called it a perfect timing. I guess you have to look at Jalen Lindsay's injury, and obviously we wish him the best. Still young, still a lot of time to recover from that. But it does hurt the depth of the team at the moment, and for Hasler to come available, I think Vermees was happy about that. It was interesting to hear from Hasler. He didn't go into detail, but basically sounded like he was pretty dismayed at being traded to the Fire. So I think this is a guy that might be a little happy to get out of that situation. And he pointed to the fact that he comes into Toronto and they win trophies right away, so he has experience. I think it's a nice little signing to give depth to the team where they may have lost some with Lindsay. I don't know. They probably won't expect a whole lot from him, but certainly going to be there in case of emergency, I think.
Well, going to need some depth with a game coming up on Sunday against FC Cincinnati. Of course, another midweek game next week. Hopefully two more midweek games in the Champions League if Sporting can get through this round as well. So the depth is going to be called on here in the near future for Sporting KC, and they've added a piece of that depth here today as well. All right, so let's have a conversation with Gerso Fernandez, expecting dad and a man who had a couple of big assists for Sporting in their 7-1 win over Montreal. This is the Sporting Kansas City Show.
Sports Radio 810 WHB, Kansas City's exclusive home for Sporting Kansas City.
The Sporting Kansas City Show continues on your home for SKC Soccer, Sports Radio 810 WHB. Of course, we also welcome those of you listening on the podcast on the 810 Sports Radio 810 app or at 810WHB.com or on Spotify or iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts. As we are getting ready for another big week for Sporting Kansas City, we've got a good guest here lined up with us, a man who, for my money, was man of the match. Even if he didn't have any goals this past weekend against Montreal, and a man who's made MLS Team of the Week as well, Gerso joins us. Hello, Gerso. How are you, man?
I'm good. Thank you for having me again. It's always a pleasure to talk with you.
And, of course, our man Carter here got a chance to talk to you and Christian Namath together after the game. You guys both claimed that the other man was the man of the match for the day. But for me, your speed getting behind the defense of Montreal was what really changed that entire game. They just didn't seem like they could handle your pace. Was that something that you thought was going to be a big weapon going into the game?
Yeah, definitely. It's a weapon that we can use always against any team, and we have been using it a lot. And we did it again against Montreal, and was one of the big weapons to open the game and have chances to score.
Peter Vermees, and I asked you about this after the game, he said you've got the best off-the-ball movement in the league. What does that take? Is it something you are constantly working on in training, or is it something that you just kind of have instinctually, or, you know, what is it? What do you work on to improve your off the ball movement?
Yeah, definitely is something that I've been working, especially since I got here to Sporting Kansas City, that I've been working a lot with it. They told me what they wanted me to do with my speed, and that was one of the things: run behind the defense, and with players like Ilya, Roger, Felipe, even Beasley, they can play those great balls behind the defense, and I just have to make the run.
So watching training sometimes, I've noticed you'll have an assistant coach, like someone like Carey, maybe standing over there, and he's talking to you sometimes about when to time those runs, when to make those runs. And you mentioned this coaching staff has really brought that in. Was that a big part of your game that you needed to improve on when you got here? How was your movement off the ball before you came to Kansas City?
No, definitely since I got here, my movement off the ball has been great, because they told me that, and I've been working on that, and they are always telling me where I need to do best, where I'm good, better on it. So it's good having them always telling me something where I need to improve.
This season, you've been on fire to start the year. You were the offensive MVP your first year with Sporting KC, and then last year, you know, a good year, but maybe not the same as your first. Is there anything different this year, or what do you think has been the key to starting the year so well?
No, last year I had something that didn't come up because they'd have to stay in the locker room and between players or coaches, and the year didn't went so well as I wanted and as everybody wanted. But this year I put in my head that I need to be focused and just be playing the best that I could to help the team doing the best that we can do.
See, I think this is an interesting conversation. For the kids that might be listening to the show right now, I think this is a lesson we can teach them about a little bit, Gerso, because when you're playing as a player, sometimes you get playing time. Sometimes the playing time doesn't come as much as you want it to, and it's how you respond to that, right? Some players might pout, might complain if they're not getting the time, but other guys keep a positive attitude. They keep working. It seemed to me like you just kept working. You kept that positive attitude that we're used to seeing from you. How did you handle it, and what kind of advice would you give to maybe a young player who goes through what you went through last year?
Well, yeah, last year in the beginning, I was a little bit frustrated with myself because I didn't have as much time as I used to play as the season before, and I was kind of frustrated and disappointed with myself. But I had people behind me, as family, friends, people always keeping pushing me to keep working. That they knew what I can do, so I just need to keep working. That one day things will happen, and I will have the chance to play. And this year I started with thinking like that. I just need to keep working, because if I keep working, I know that something good eventually will happen, and that's what I've been doing.
So let's talk more about just the hot start to the year, not just with you, but with the team, with Christian Namus scoring a bunch of goals as well. How have you found working with him as the number nine a little bit more this season? Obviously, he came in halfway through last year, but are you kind of starting to get each other's games and understand each other's movements? How's that process going?
Yeah, definitely. We had the whole preseason. We started a week earlier, and the team worked very hard, thinking the first two games against Toluca. And playing with Nemo, he has experience, and he knows the movements, what you need to do. It's really easy to play with him and find him. So he makes a lot of things easier for me as a winger to find him and play with him.
Okay, now you mentioned having family that that has your back when something goes wrong. You also have some family members that are commenting on your backside on social media, because your wife went to Twitter and said that, assist, means a little bit more to maybe you than some other people. How do you feel about the fact that, you're getting some love on Twitter from the missus after a game like that?
It's awesome. It's funny because I didn't even know about it, and she just told me, you should go to Twitter and see something that I posted, and I went there and I saw her comment, and it was very funny. It's always good having your wife watching your games and commenting stuff about the game that you did good or not so good. So it's always good having her involved in my professional life.
Yeah, she's a fan of your backside too, man. I mean, that's never a bad thing, right?
Yeah, it's never a bad thing. It's never.
So how's everything going on that front, by the way? We talked to you a few weeks ago. You know you're expecting your first son and all that coming up. Everything going well with the pregnancy and all that?
Yeah, thank you for asking. Everything's going very well. The baby's healthy. She's healthy. Sometimes she gets sick, but it's the normal. But she's handling very good, and I really thank her for the effort that she's doing to everything go well.
So I don't know about you. I've been through the process twice, my wife being pregnant, having kids. And the first time I went through it, I was amazed at what the female body has to go through in order to have a baby, just the whole process. And my wife, I remember, she started craving some really weird foods and things like that through the course of it. How is she handling that? And are you as supportive as you need to be through all of this?
Yeah, so the thing that she has been craving most is just candy, sweet stuff. She always for dinner, for lunch, whenever, anytime, she only wants sweet stuff. And okay, if that's what you want, it's what we're gonna get. Mm-hmm. But pretty much she has been really, really good at it. So I think I'm being a little bit lucky with the way she's handling all of this.
See, I took it as a responsibility. If my wife was craving some sweets or some ice cream, I need to eat that too, because I'm supporting her if I do that. But you're a highly tuned professional athlete. Do you have to stay away from the sweets when Emmy wants it, or do you support her and have some as well?
I support her, but I always get a little bit of what she gets. Okay. So I don't get one for her and one for me. Gotcha. So I just taste whatever she gets for her.
That's a little role reversal, isn't it, Carter? Usually I'll have some of what she's having. That's a little reversal there.
Yeah, I think so. I have no experience, so good luck with you there.
Yeah.
7-1 against Montreal. Have you been part of many 7-1 games in your career?
No, since I'm professional, this is the first time that actually I'm in a team that we score seven goals, which is awesome.
What is it like being on the field for that? I mean, the players just kept pushing. The fans wanted you to get more. I would imagine it gets a little easy to relax a little bit when you have a big lead like that, but it didn't seem like you guys ever did that.
Yeah, especially because Peter doesn't let us relax. He always pushing, keep going, keep going, keep going, and the team was doing it. We knew that we were controlling the game, and we were playing very well. We were creating the chances, so we just needed to keep pushing, and the chance came, and the goals came too.
Do you think there's much you can take from that game into this big Champions League semifinal first leg down in Monterrey, or is it a case of that game's in the past and we can't focus on that?
We, as a team, we have to think the good things that we did in a game and take that for the game against Monterey. Of course, we need to forget the game because we will play against a different team with a different way to play. So that will be important. So we will be focused on Monterey and ready for the challenge.
I want you to describe for me what the excitement level is like for you and the players for this game on Thursday night. I mean, you're in the semifinals of a major competition. Monterey, I don't need to tell you guys, they're a star-studded lineup. They've spent a lot of money on a lot of different players. They play at a big, fancy stadium. What's it like getting ready for a game like this? How excited are you? How excited is the team for this opportunity?
The team is very excited because this kind of game is the games that we want to play. We dream about it, and now we have the chance to play in a beautiful stadium against a good team. That's going to be a huge challenge for us as players and as a team, but I think we are very ready for it.
Well, we saw you guys get goals down in Toluca, down in Panama as well. Take me through, maybe does that help you coming into this game? You scored the goal down in Toluca, and that pretty much changed that whole series. I have to imagine getting an away goal is kind of at the top of your guys' list down there in Monterrey.
Yeah, definitely. I think every games that we have been playing so far, I think in all of them we have been scoring goals. So we are a team that always find a way to score one goal or more than one. But so that's something that we have as a team, and we'll have our chance, the chance that we have against Monterrey, we will try put the ball in the net.
When you look at this Monterrey team, what impresses you the most about them?
I think the way they hunt the ball, the way they want the ball, the way every play for them is like the last play, and it's the way that Mexican teams play. Everything is like the last chance of their lives, and they go with everything, and we will have to be ready for that.
Matter, or do you guys like having the return leg at home? Or would you rather play the first game at home, or do you not even think about that?
I think we all, as a team, we think it's better for us to play away and try and manage the result that we can. When we play home, we can manage the game to go to the next phase. So having playing there first is good for us, but at the same time, we need to be careful because it can be deadly if we're not ready for it. So it's kind of good, but at the same time, got to be very, very careful.
Okay, when you describe that Monterrey team, you say they hunt the ball. They play like, you know, every ball. Their life is on the line. They want to possess the ball as well. It sounds a lot like you guys, doesn't it? Is it fairly similar to the way you guys play?
Yeah, definitely. I would say yes. That's why it's going to be a huge challenge for us, having a team that plays kind of like the way we play, and we'll see who can beat who.
Well, Gerso, it's going to be a lot of fun on Thursday night. You're off to a flying start here in 2019. We're all incredibly excited for you, and we wish you the best of luck on Thursday. Thanks a lot for the time.
Thank you very much, and thank you again for having me, as always.
Yeah, and keep an eye on Gerso's Twitter activity. You know, some interesting stuff there you might find, as always. Gerso Fernandez joining us here on the show. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to give you an inside peek into this Monterrey team. Tom Marshall, who covers Liga MX for ESPNU, is going to join us on the phone lines, and we'll get a scouting report in depth on this Monterrey team. Of course, remember, you can listen to that match live right here with myself and Carter Augustine on the call, 9 o'clock on Thursday night, right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Back with Tom Marshall on the Sporting Kansas City Show right after this.
Sports Radio 810 WHB, Kansas City's exclusive home for Sporting Kansas City.
The Sporting Kansas City Show continues on your home for SKC Soccer, Sports Radio 810 WHB. And of course, if you're not listening to us live on the radio, we appreciate you downloading the podcast at 810WHB.com, on the 810 app, Spotify, iTunes, wherever you get your podcast. We appreciate you subscribing and liking the show as well. And once again, it is Champions League week for Sporting Kansas City. There has been a lot of buildup to this week. And of course, tonight we are spending the majority of the time getting you ready for the semifinals between Sporting Kansas City and Monterrey, one of the giants of Liga MX. And now to help us
learn more about this opponent for Sporting Kansas City is Mexican national team and Liga MX writer for ESPN FC. His name is Tom Marshall. You can follow him on Twitter. I highly encourage you to do so. At Mexico World Cup is the Twitter handle. At Mexico World Cup. Tom, good evening, man. How are you?
Good evening. Yeah, I'm good. Thanks. Yeah, looking forward to another week of CONCACAF Champions League action.
Should be a lot of fun. Before we get into that, Tom, I noticed on your Twitter page you've been embedded with the Mexican national team with Tata Martino's first go round with El Tri, and and I'm curious. We're coming off of the international window. We all saw what Tata Martino had to offer to MLS with the amazing run that that he helped Atlanta United go on. How dangerous are the Mexican national team going to be with him at the helm after you've spent some time with him?
Yeah, no, I think it's a big positive, his appointment. And then, you know, watching him work that first kind of, you know, 10 days with the players, he's just kind of come in there and he just, you know, you can tell he's got the experience, he's got the authority, he's got the know-how. And you can see kind of, it's kind of instantly clicked in a way. So yeah, I mean, I think it's a massive positive for Mexico. And, you know, obviously looking to the Gold Cup, you know, I think Mexico with Tata Martino go into that tournament as the favorite for me, without any doubt.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see. And now, of course, a couple of injuries for some of the U.S. men's national team young stars. I'm going to be really interested to see how the Gold Cup shakes out. But that's for another day, Tom. Let's get into this Monterrey side. And they've got a couple of the young rising stars on the Mexican national team front on their team as well. Let's give our listeners maybe a thumbnail sketch, maybe just an overview. When we talk about Monterrey, how big of a club are they in Mexico? Just how big of a mountain to climb is this for Sporting Kansas City coming up on Thursday night?
Yeah, I mean, if you contextualize it, there's four big clubs in Mexico: America, Pumas, Cruz Azul, and Chivas. So Monterrey historically isn't one of the big four. It's not the one with the most titles. But right now, today, and over the last couple of years, the last 5 years, Monterrey, there's absolutely no doubt that, you know, it's not just one of the biggest and richest clubs in Mexico. It's one of the biggest and richest clubs on the continent. I mean, the amount of money they put into this squad, you know, to win titles in Liga MX, to win the CONCACAF Champions League, to go to the Club World Cup. I mean, it's significant. I think that, you know, Monterrey right now are up there with Tigres and Club America. For me, the top three teams in Mexico. So it's a big task. It's a big task for Sporting. The only thing I would say is that Monterrey aren't going through an amazing time over the last couple of weeks, as I'm sure you've read about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we'll get into that in a second here, too. But I'm curious, what explains the newfound success, relatively speaking? We're talking about overall history. Where did they come into this money, and how did they make this, you know, what do you chalk up the emergence of them as one of the powerhouses in Mexico here recently, too?
Yeah, I mean, they're owned by FEMSA, which is a big, which is a massive company. It owns a lot of, anybody who's been to Mexico will have seen the OXXO shops, which are on absolutely every corner. They basically owns those shops. It's a bottling company for, I think it's Coca-Cola. I'm not 100% sure about that. But yeah, I mean, this is a massive multinational corporation based in Monterrey. So it's almost like this corporation has kind of taken the club. And it's almost like a statement of intent. It's kind of, this is our company. We're based in Monterrey, and look at our team. It's not just big in Mexico. We want to make it, you know, known on the whole continent. So I think that's the reason why. And the stadium that, you know, the teams were playing on Thursday is, I mean, soccer-specific stadium in the whole of the continent. I mean, there's not many that can get anywhere near it. I mean, it is an absolutely beautiful stadium.
And maybe this is a factoid for you, Tom. I don't know if you know this, but that stadium was designed by an architecture firm here in Kansas City called Populous. Kansas City actually is the epicenter of the best sports arena architecture firms in the world. And so we take a lot of pride in that. And I'm, for one, incredibly excited to come see this place. What can you tell me about this venue?
No, it's absolutely unbelievable. I mean, it's like they call it the steel giant. So from the outside, it just looks like it's made of steel. But I mean, the best view of the whole place is actually from the top tier, looking down onto the pitch. And then if you, from one of the sides, the mountains are in the background. Monterrey is a really aesthetically beautiful city because it's got this. It's called the Saddleback Mountain in Spanish, but you know it's got a mountain in the background and it kind of defines Monterrey. And you can actually see that mountain from one side of the stadium, sitting watching the game. And there's some photos out there on social networks. And I mean, it's an unbelievable stadium. I mean, for me, it compares to really top quality stadiums in Europe. I mean, taking away the giant, the Wembley or the Bernabeu. I mean, it's equal to a Benfica or that kind of level team. I mean, Monterrey should rightly be proud of that stadium.
Yeah, we're really excited to get down there on Thursday night. Again, we're visiting with Tom Marshall. He covers Liga MX for ESPN FC. And, of course, we will have this game for you live on Thursday night, 9 o'clock Central Time, right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Myself and Carter Augustine on the call of this one. All right, now, Tom, you mentioned some recent struggles maybe for Monterrey. Now, they only have one loss on the season in the Clausura, but they had a 2-0 lead at home against Cruz Azul in their last game, and they blew that lead at the end. What can you tell us about this recent form for Monterrey?
Yeah, I mean, it's relative, like you said. They've only lost once, but it's really important. I mean, there's not a really good synergy right now between the fans and especially the manager, Diego Alonso. What's happened recently, we saw it on Saturday against Cruz Azul. We saw it in the big game, the Clásico Regio against Tigres, their arch rival. We've seen Monterrey take a lead and then kind of try to close out the game, make a couple of defensive substitutions. And the fans have really, really been critical of Diego Alonso, the head coach, because it seems like they're inviting on the pressure and then the other teams have capitalized. I mean, to be 2-0 up in the 50th minute or around there on Saturday and then to let a two-goal lead slip at home in that stadium, I mean, they left the pitch to booze, basically. I mean, there's something not quite right with Monterrey right now in terms of that kind of relationship with the fans. I think it's got something to do with the style of play as well. It's almost like Monterrey and the fans think, look, we've got all these players, we've got all these, they just, over the off-season, they signed Maxi Mesa, an Argentine international who started games at the World Cup. And they feel almost like, we're a big club. We've got this such an expensive playing squad, and why are we kind of sitting back when we're 2-0 up? Why aren't we going for that third goal? So I think that's the situation right now. So it's an interesting one for Sporting Kansas City because it's definitely something they can play with. If there is only a goal in it, in the last 20, 30 minutes, then it's definitely going to be interesting to see what Alonso does.
Well, I'll tell you what, we got a little glimpse of how ugly it can get down in Liga MX when the fans turn on their team when we were down there in Toluca. And, I mean, gosh, it's something I'd never seen before. The Toluca fans actually started giving the Olé chance to the Sporting Kansas City players. They were throwing things at their own players. I'm not suggesting it's anywhere near that bad in Monterrey, but I just wonder, we talk a lot about the pressure in some of these types of leagues from the fans. Is it always a positive? I mean, sometimes that seems like that could really that could actually maybe cause poorer performances from the players depending on how the relationship goes with these fans.
Yeah, I mean, there's different ways of looking at it. I mean, Miguel Layún today sent out a tweet saying, "Look, we've not had a great couple of weeks, but listen, we're third in the league. We've only lost one game. We're in the semi-final of the Continental Tournament. We're in a good. It's the start of April now." These are the big months. The next 2 months are where the trophies are given out. And he basically said, look, we're in good shape. We're doing okay. We've got a good team. So yeah, I mean, the other side of it, I mean, what we saw against Atlanta. I mean, if Monterrey turn it on, they only need to turn it on for 15, 20 minutes because, Dolan Pavón, Aviles Hurtado, Funes Mori. I mean, these are players that you just can't let up in a series of 180 minutes. Sporting, they've just got to be absolutely on it. You can't give them that 15, 20-minute period of where they completely dominate you. You need an outlet, and I think that that's going to be absolutely key. It's going to take a massive, massive performance from Sporting, regardless of Monterrey's poor form, because this, like we said right at the start, this is a serious, serious super team, basically in kind of CONCACAF terms.
So how would you describe their style of play? You mentioned that the fans maybe aren't excited with the fact that once they get leads, sometimes maybe they sit back a little bit. We know Sporting Kansas City play a 4-3-3 possession-based style. They're going to try to play out of the back even when they're under pressure. They want to control the ball. What about Monterrey? What style of game do they like to play in?
Yeah, I mean, it also changes as well, and I think that's kind of been the problem. So Diego Alonso traditionally is kind of a possession-based, you know, with his Pachuca team, he likes to kind of play out the back, do things right, you know, and play a very attractive style of game. But when he's Monterrey, before he took over under Antonio Mohamed, and Mohamed very much kind of counter-attack, hit him on the transitions, and I think Alonso's kind of tried to mix the two. So for me, Monterrey, I think they've got the two best counter-attacking players, or one of the best in counter-attacking players in Mexico in Pabon and Hurtado. But at the same time, they've got players like Rodolfo Pizarro and Mesa, who kind of are more possession-orientated. So yeah, I mean, they've been basically playing a 4-2-3-1 for most of the season. But yeah, I'd describe it as a balanced team right now. But he kind of tried to dominate the start of games, and then obviously if they do go in the lead, and then they kind of, I don't know, they'll take off a forward and put on another centre-back, because they also sometimes play three at the back, like they did in the second leg, I believe, against Atlanta. So he's a balanced team. I think Alonso has got options, but, you know, it's not kind of, I think psychologically more than anything, because if you go through player for player, I mean, it's a ridiculous team. But if you look at it, kind of take a step back, then I don't know, there's something quite not quite clicking right now.
Well, you mentioned Hurtado, and boy, I would encourage all the Sporting fans to go watch his last goal. That was sure a work of art, wasn't it, against Cruz Azul?
Yeah, just unbelievable. I mean, you know, and it's not the first kind of goal that he's scored of that type. I mean, he's a player who, he doesn't need much space. I mean, he hardly had any space, and he did that kind of overhead kick for Chilena. And yeah, that could be the goal of the season in Mexico.
Once again, we're visiting with Tom Marshall. One of the players I want to ask you about, Tom, is a guy that looked for the last couple of years, when it was all doom and gloom for the United States men's national team, and all we could talk about here in the U.S. was what's wrong with U.S. soccer. Jonathan Gonzalez kind of became like the, I don't know what you want to call it, almost like the stereotypical or the microcosm in people's eyes of what's wrong with American soccer. This young American-born player who they never seemed to identify just how good he was, and he got away. He was playing with the U.S. U-17s and U-20s, and then he switched to play for Mexico. He plays for Monterrey as a defensive midfielder. How is his time going at Monterrey? How is his development as a player since all that has gone down?
No, I think I think it's been a little bit difficult for him. He has had a couple of injuries, and he's actually lost his place now in the starting 11. So it's been quite a bit tough for Jonathan Gonzalez. What I would say though is he's still only 20 years old. I mean, I think that kind of all that kind of stuff happened to him at such a young age, and I'm sure it affected him on the personal side as well. So. But I'll tell you what, it wouldn't surprise me one bit if he plays against Sporting, because Alonso has been kind of rotating the squad. But yeah, I mean, Gonzalez is, he's just been with the Mexico under-20 team, so it feels like, I know he was kind of quickly rushed into the first team with Mexico. He feels now that, you know, he's going to play at the under-20s World Cup with Mexico, and then I think he's going to make the jump to the Olympic squad. You know, and it's going to be a kind of a more normal process of getting to the first team, rather than, you know, he was so accelerated before the World Cup. And obviously, I think everyone in Mexico knew that, you know, this is a kid, if we want, we're going to have to move right now. Because if not, then, you know, the US is there for him. So, I think he's going to need a bit of patience, to be honest.
Okay, Tom, before I let you go, you mentioned that maybe we could see a little bit of squad rotation from Monterrey. That they're dealing with the same situation that Sporting are in terms of a lot of matches piling up in a short period of time. We know from Sporting Kansas City side of things that they're prioritizing this competition. They want very badly to be the first MLS team to win this competition. So I think we have a pretty good guess that they're going to come out with the best choice team that they have available on Thursday. But what about Monterrey? They've won this competition three times in the not too distant history. How much of a priority is this versus the fact that they're in the race for first place in the Clausura as well, in third place there right now? How do you think they prioritize things going into this game?
I think right now the CONCACAF Champions League is the priority for Monterrey because, you know, they're third in the league. They're going to be in the playoffs. I mean, they're almost there already. So I think that, you know, it's all about the CONCACAF Champions League now. And listen, hey, this is a team that is put together to win trophies. You know, it's put together to reach the Club World Cup. It's not put together just to kind of make a little impact in Mexico. And therefore, you know, this is massive for Monterrey. Obviously, it's traditionally been a little bit difficult to get excited about the CONCACAF Champions League sometimes in Mexico. You know, honestly, like, being honest, it's because Mexican teams usually win it. And I think it's difficult to generate that excitement and that rivalry when one side's winning almost all the time. So yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, that's what the tournament needs in the whole. It needs MLS teams to do what Sporting did against Toluca, you know, and get people sitting up and taking notice. But yeah, I think this is massive for Monterrey, and there is pressure on them to win it. I mean, the other side of the draw is Tigres, and you can bet that the Monterrey fans won't be enjoying it if Tigres get to the final and Rayados don't.
A club that's put together to win trophies. I think that's the easiest way to describe this team right now, and it's a big challenge for Sporting. I just can't wait for this matchup on Thursday night in Monterrey. Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the time. We really appreciate it. Hopefully we get to talk to you again soon. Maybe if Sporting make it to the finals, we can preview another matchup against the Liga MX team. So hopefully we can talk to you again real soon.
Yeah, thanks for the invite, and yeah, enjoy the game.
All right, that is Tom Marshall. Again, you can follow his coverage on Twitter. It's a great place to get his coverage, at Mexico World Cup. Mexico World Cup. He is the Mexican national team and Liga MX reporter for ESPN FC. We will take a break. Back to wrap things up on this edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show on Sports Radio 810 WHB, on the app, on the podcast, at iTunes and Spotify as well. Back after this.
Sports Radio 810 WHB, Kansas City's exclusive home for Sporting Kansas City.
Okay, back to wrap things up on another edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show. Nate Buchady along with Carter Augustine. Our thanks to Gerso for joining us and Tom Marshall from ESPNU. I thought some really interesting stuff from Tom Marshall about a team in Monterrey that apparently is in a little bit of turmoil, at least from the fan base, putting pressure on their manager, Carter. You look at a team that's lost one game in the Clausura. They're in third place. They're in semifinals of the CONCACAF Champions League, yet there's unrest among the fans about the manager.
Yeah, I think that just paints the picture of the expectations with this Monterrey team. I think not even just this year's team in general, but just the team over the past, you know, decade or so. Mm-hmm. They have these high expectations. It reminds me kind of like a KU basketball or Kentucky, mm-hmm. you know. It was funny to me this year, KU fans up in arms over a team that winds up, you know, as a four seed or whatever they wound up getting. It's just when you excel for so long, you have these expectations, and even if you have a good team that's doing well, sometimes the fans will get upset. And I don't know about you, but I think that just shows like what they expect from this Monterrey side and the quality that Monterrey has had over the past decade plus.
Yeah, one of their real leaders, Miguel Ayun, went on Twitter and was telling the fans, reminding them, hey, we're in third place. We're playing a big competition on Thursday. Let's make sure we get support there. But I do think it's interesting, you know, we saw the fans turn on the Toluca players when we were down in Toluca. Now, that team was in a really bad run of form. But you do have to wonder if Sporting Kansas City can grab a goal at some point in this game. What is the reaction going to be like from the fans? How do the players react to that? I guess that's anybody's guess, but I think I'm fascinated to see how the whole thing plays out on Thursday night.
Yeah, and if Sporting can, you know, keep them out of the goal for 30 minutes, does the crowd start to turn? That's going to be really, really fascinating to see because we heard from Tom Marshall. This is a team that they've spent so much money assembling this team that they expect to bring some trophies back. And so that may play into Sporting KC's favor if they can hold on in this game and withstand the early pressure. I feel like you always see early pressure from the home sides. We see an MLS almost every game, but I think in these continental competitions, especially if they can kind of hold, if they can hold out for those first 15 minutes, get into the game, and maybe we'll start hearing some groans across the crowd, and that could maybe play in Sporting's favor.
The other thing we heard from Tom Marshall, though, is as a reminder, Atlanta saw it. Even Cruz Azul, even though they ended up pulling out a 2-2 draw in their last game, saw it. They can put up a couple goals on you in the span of 10 minutes. I mean, if things are clicking for them and you're not on point defensively, they can change the scoreboard very quickly. So it's something certainly for Sporting Kansas City to be aware of.
Yeah, that's a great example. Atlanta, it looked like they were going to be able to get a result down there. Mm-hmm. And then bang, 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 three goals in the space of, what, 15 minutes towards the end of the game. And that just pretty much ended the tie. And we heard that from Gerso as well, talking about, you know, it's nice to go there in the first leg and know what you have to do coming back, but it's also really dangerous because it could be deadly, as he put it. If they get three goals, it's going to be tough to come back from. So this team, I mean, Pabon and Funes Mori, a lot of people think maybe is the best striker on the continent at the moment. They're very dangerous in attack. And even if Sporting is able to keep them out of the back of the net for an hour, like you said, they can pounce in a hurry. So Sporting's going to have to be very conscious of that. And I think we've seen it with Sporting this year. If they can keep the ball and not lose it in dangerous areas, they've got a good chance at going down there and getting a result.
Yeah, and you mentioned those strikers. We didn't even mention Hurtado, who had what Tom Marshall said could be the goal of the year in Liga MX on that bicycle in the game against Cruz Azul last weekend. I'm going to be fascinated to watch the midfield battle in this game. We know what Sporting Kansas City have to offer in that regard. I mean, Felipe Gutierrez, that stands, he is this type of competition, this type of event and the level of competition is nothing new to him. Roger Espinoza is an international caliber player. He's played in cup finals, the FA Cup, places like that. He's used to a stage like this, and we know about Elie. This is a dynamic, young midfield filled with Mexican internationals and in some cases Argentinian internationals for Monterrey as well. So, boy, what a matchup that's going to be in the midfield.
Should be American international as well. Or
well, could be. If he plays, by the way, Jonathan Gonzalez has been coming off the bench lately. But yeah, he's got two caps with the Mexican national team now since he switched allegiances.
but you're right. I think Felipe Gutierrez showed that. I think Sporting showed that they missed him down in Panama when he didn't play, mm-hmm. and then when he came on, it showed that's the quality that he brings to this side. And it was interesting talking to Elie at training this week. He mentioned how they employ a lot of man-marking, man-to-man tendencies when they're playing defense. And so I think a lot of guys are going to have to win some 1v1 battles in this game, and it's going to be really tough because, as you mentioned, the quality that they have is phenomenal.
Two terrific midfields at battle. It's going to be a great game. Again, coming up tomorrow night, Sporting Kansas City versus Monterrey. This is the semifinals, the first leg of the CONCACAF Champions League. And again, you'll be able to hear the match live right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB with myself and Carter Augustine on the call at 9 o'clock. So that's going to do it for us on this edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show. We will see you next time getting ready for the home leg of this match right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.